This morning, our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. This is a text that is the standard gospel reading for the second Sunday in Lent. And we read it this week as we consider various narratives of the grace of God. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Oftentimes when people we know and have come to learn and know very well and know the dealings of their personality and how they would handle situations can suddenly say or do something that seems totally out of character. And such is the case here with our Lord Jesus. This is just not the typical approach that we expect out of him, the way that he handles and deals with this Canaanite woman. Think about how different he sounds in this text initially compared to the other texts that we've had this week that have focused on these little conversations and his dealings with individual sinful people and so on in their dire circumstances. On Monday, we thought about how Jesus dealt with the woman who had been caught in adultery, about to be stoned to death, and how he didn't condemn her, treated her so gently. And on Tuesday, the woman crying at Jesus' feet while he's eating that meal with the Pharisee, and her tears wetting his feet and so on, and how gently he dealt with her. Tomorrow, we'll have the story of Zacchaeus and how our Lord deals so graciously with him. But this one just doesn't seem to fit what we would typically expect from Christ. Usually he's showing such a generous and gracious and merciful heart, and his words here and his treatment of this woman actually seem mean-spirited when you first hear of them. This Canaanite woman who came to Jesus was not, of course, of the house of Israel. She was from a pagan land, the region of Tyre and Sidon. These were two seaport cities that were northwest of the region of Galilee, and they were on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And they were known to be cities in a region of very, very highly pagan worship and ungodly people. And so the fact that this woman would come to speak to Jesus probably put her somewhat in an odd circumstance. And it was probably noteworthy that she was of a foreign, non-Jewish background. And Jesus dealing with her, first of all, ignoring her. Secondly, speaking almost as if he's not even talking to her, but about her to his disciples. And then finally, when he does address her, using words that sounds like he's equating her with a dog. This approach from Jesus just doesn't seem typical. And the way God often deals with us in our day-to-day lives, and the way he lets things happen to us in our day-to-day lives, may sometimes, maybe even often, contradict what we have come to learn to know about him from his word, that he's this gracious and loving and caring God that is so concerned about us. But maybe it just doesn't seem to be that way at times in our lives. Our feelings, our intellect, our observation of things, our emotions, When we look at how things maybe happen and fall into place in our lives and don't fall into place in our lives, and how our dreams don't work out and our plans don't work out, Sometimes we can feel that God has turned his back on us. In the text before us, there are given two great pursuits, if you will, two great chases that are going on inside of this story. The first one is on behalf of Christ. Christ is chasing down, he is pursuing faith. He's looking for it, even in this woman who has come from a pagan land. Sometimes if you walk into a weight room where people are working out or something, and you may run across an athletic trainer, a personal trainer that's working with an athlete, and if you just saw them at that moment and how they're yelling at that person and how they're just striving with them to push them further and further, you might easily conclude, man, that person's being mean. That person is being nasty to that individual. When actually what's really on the person's, on the trainer's heart and mind, above anybody else in the room, is the best interest of the one they are pushing. Martin Luther says this about this text and Jesus in this text. He says, Christ, like a hunter, exercises and chases faith in his followers in order that they may become strong and firm. And we see that, don't we, in the final comments that Jesus gives to this woman, his great admiration of her faith and the great determination that she shows to trust in him and so on. Well, the second chase or pursuit that we can also find in this text that is for our learning is how this woman continues pursuing the gracious promises of God. We don't know how from our text, but somehow in her life, this woman has come to know about the Messiah, about the Christ. Somehow in her life, the Holy Spirit, through God's word, has worked faith in her heart that has drawn her now to Jesus' side to come and plead with him as the Son of God to perform a miraculous work for this individual. And in her expressions to Jesus and in her worshipful nature, we can see this sincere faith. She cries out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And she comes to worship him. This woman, despite all of the obstacles that seem to be put in her way for her faith, this woman will not be turned away from pursuing the grace of God. Even though Jesus' own disciples try to push her away, even though what appears to sound like pretty harsh words from Jesus himself come into her hearing, and even though her own observation and probably her own intellect and emotions would tell her the opposite is true, nevertheless, her faith continues to trust that in Christ, in this Christ that's speaking so mean to her, is still hidden a gracious God, a loving and merciful God. One commentator says this about her: faith is like an eagle diving from the sky towards its prey. It seeks the promises of God. And buried inside the seemingly harsh words of Christ is a tiny little morsel of grace, of salvation by grace. And she is so hungry for it, she has to have it. She must possess it. And she's even willing to consider herself, in spiritual terms, a dog to possess that mercy. She hears him saying yes to her, even when his words sound like they're saying no. And the Holy Spirit has recorded this beautiful story for our edification when it comes to how we pursue the grace of God. God does not, in his word, God does not direct us to go toward our feelings, toward our emotions. He doesn't direct us to go look at our lot in life and how things are going in our life, how our career is going or how our health is going. He doesn't direct us to what we might intellectually observe in order to determine what he thinks of us and how he wants to deal with us. He sends us instead only to his word and to the word made flesh, his own son, our Lord Jesus. And in that word, he presents himself to us as a loving and gracious and forgiving God, the God of our salvation. Even the imprisoned Joseph, while he was chained up in the jail in Egypt, could find a gracious God. Even a dying Lazarus, as the dogs lick his sores, could find a gracious God. Even the martyred Stephen, as the stones hit his body, could find a gracious God. Even a suffering Paul, as he pleaded three times with the Lord to take away the thorn in his flesh, can find a gracious God. And for you and me today, despite what ills we may have and problems that threaten us, even when your heart and when the very judgment of the world and when your own emotions and your own intellect tell you that somehow you must be too sinful or too bad or not important enough or too far from God's grace, by faith do not despair. God's word remains the same, and his promises are firm, and his loving Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believe in him. Amen. Please rise. Please join me in a prayer that you will find on page 152, collect number 43. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, grant us, we beseech you, by your Holy Spirit, that we may strengthen our hearts and confirm our faith and hope in your grace and mercy, so that although we have reason to fear because of our conscience, our sin, and our unworthiness, we may nevertheless, with the woman of Canaan, hold fast to your grace, and in every trial and temptation, find you a present help and refuge. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.